And in the honor of reading our Father's holy word here, we're just going to read the first couple of verses of chapter number 3 as we get back into our series here in the book of Nehemiah. The Bible says, Nehemiah chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, "Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they builded the sheep gate, they sanctified it, and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Meha. They sanctified it unto the tower of Haniel. And next unto them builded the men of Jericho. And next to them builded Zechar, the son of Imri." All I'd like to do here real quickly, Lord being our helper, is bring our sermon on this thought. Give me this section. Give me this section. Our Father in heaven, we praise your holy name, Lord, for what you've done here at Faith Baptist thus far. And Father, we are looking forward to what you are going to continue to do, what you're going to do, what you're going to accomplish here. We pray, Lord, for your blessings upon our efforts here. Not to lift ourselves up in any way, shape, or form, but so that we can lift Jesus high and up. So as that everyone could see Him. So as that He can draw all men unto Him. So as that people can see here at Faith Baptist, there's a church that actually does worship the Lord God Almighty. That there is a place that genuinely cares for us. A place where we can go and get help from the Master. We know that all things are possible through you. Through our flesh, through our own works, through our own money, ain't gonna get done. But Lord, we believe that you have commissioned each and every one of us here at Faith Baptist to do a work for you. And we are looking forward, Lord, to doing what we can here. We're just asking you, Father, please, to help us to do what it is that we can. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. As I began to ponder what the sermon would be for this week, and I was listening to this preacher, I believe it was Sumner Wimp the other day, and that's his name, Sumner Wimp, W-E-M-P, not the I-M-P. But anyways, he brought up the great reformer John Knox. And John Knox was known for this prayer. He was a Scottish man. And this prayer was, "Give me Scotland, Lord, or I die." His heart was set on winning as many people to Christ there in his home country of Scotland as he possibly could. And when I got to thinking about that, it reminded me over there in the book of Joshua about a man named Caleb. And when they started doling out to everybody here the portion of land that they would receive, and Joshua came to Caleb and he asked him, "What part do you want for your inheritance?" Caleb, who's at least 90 years old at this point, said, "Give me that mountain there." And Caleb got the mountain. Caleb put in the effort. Caleb got the mountain. Caleb drove out the Canaanites that were in there. He conquered at 90 years old. He got the mountain. He got the section of the promised land he was looking for. He'd been eyeing that piece of property for 40 years. And the time finally came and he said, "I want that mountain right there." Church, I want to know, do we want this section that we've got here in Whiting, Indiana? Do we want this mountain that is here before us? Do we want this city that we reside in? It's going to be up to us if we're going to or not. God's already laid it out here for us. But it's a matter of us doing something about it. A lot of times in our prayers, we will use a phrase very similar to this one here. If it be. The word "if" is too small for God. And while at one time it is too small for God, on the other hand, it is too big for God. What do you mean it's too big for God, preacher? I'm glad you asked that. Because if limits an unlimited God, if it be your will for me to do this, Lord, and God's saying, you're putting handcuffs on me. You're saying you ain't sure you can do it, and you're saying you ain't sure I can do it. We're presuming too much of Him that it's if. I don't see anywhere here in these first couple of verses. As a matter of fact, the whole chapter, there's what, 31, 32 verses here in chapter number 3. I don't see anybody saying, if it be your will, Nehemiah, I'd like to build this part right here. If you think God will let me build this part right here, I'd like to rebuild it. I don't see that nowhere. What I see is a bunch of people getting together and they have decided, I'm going to build this section right here. And the Lord blessed because they decided, I'm going to claim this section and I'm going to build. Church, we need to start building. Again, you read through this chapter and there's nothing specifically said where anyone was assigned a particular spot. You must build this or else. I don't read anywhere they were held at gunpoint. You will start building that section of wall right there or else. But I read of a bunch of people who got together and said, I want to build. I want to see growth. I want to see what God can do here. And they started doing it. Now, we're not going to go through the whole chapter today. I mean, kind of in a very, very roundabout way, we're going to. But I only want to show you three particular instances here. Verse number 1. It says, then Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brethren the priests, and they builded the sheep gate and sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Meha. They sanctified it unto the tower of Hanel. Number 1, give me this section. Where I worship. Where I worship, church. Preacher, hate to tell you this. The church house has already been built. Yeah. It has already been built, hasn't it? We don't have any drafts in here. Praise the Lord for that. There's a couple of things that need to be fixed and all, but really the church is in pretty decent shape, you know, physically. That's not exactly what I mean. You see, we can ride around in our cars and worship God. Put in a CD, some good Christian music, put in a CD, got some preaching on it, find a good godly station on the radio to listen to that, do some streaming there on your smartphone, get some good stuff on there. You can worship there in your car, you can worship there at your house, you can worship here in the church house. We got the live stream going, hopefully that thing is running smoothly right now. You get a little bit of worship going on that way. But what are you doing with what you got? Are you building up what you got? Or are you just simply saying, oh, you know what, I just don't feel like it today. I'm just going to show up today. That's something for us to consider. If we are going to claim that section where we worship, are we getting the most out of it? Are we? That means we've got to be putting the most into it. You sow little, you get little. You reap much, you get much. That's Bible. That's basic understanding of anything when it comes to nature there. The more you put in, the more you're going to get out. Unless it's a losing cause, in which case the more you put in, the more you're just losing. But this ain't no losing cause. Battle's already been won there on the cross of Calvary. Now here's Elijah. He says, give me this section where I worship. Because I know full well not everyone who's going to walk in those doors is already saved. So I need to do all I can to get this place built to be the place that it needs to be. A place where people can come and get help from the Master. Even if it means just showing up for Sunday school and no one else is here. But at least the opportunity was present for someone to show up and get a little bit from the Sunday school. Not everyone who comes through those doors there is going to be here spiritually ready to worship. Some people are just going to be too browbeaten, Brother Tim. The world done got them and whooped them real good. And they're just coming in physically, man, they are a total wreck. Doing one of these numbers here spiritually. They ain't ready to worship. What they need is a spiritual IV. They need some spiritual medicine. They need them some spiritual food to get them back up. But if we have not built up this section here so that we can strengthen them, we are going to be a very terrible hospital. In fact, we'll end up being one of those hospitals like we read about in history where you go there to die, not to live. Oh, my soul. I don't want that. Elijah should say, hey, we got some things we need to get straightened out first so that we can be ready to worship. Because Elijah knew there were three groups in particular he wanted to be able to reach where he worshiped. The wretched lost need to get saved. And if you ain't got a place open, how in the world can they get help? I got to thinking about it. Maybe we should just go ahead and cancel service for this particular Sunday. It's going to be so cold. And then the thought immediately crossed my mind. And please forgive me if you are Catholic and you are watching there online. The Catholic Church, I'll guarantee you, is going to be open today. If they can be open today, the Methodist Church can be open today, the Episcopalian Church can be open today, why can't the Baptist Church be open today? Because someone may need to come and get saved today. And if these doors are shut, it may be their last chance to get saved. I was telling you about Andre there. You know, I could have very easily said, dude, I am in a rush today. I am already an hour and a half late. I need to get going. We could talk about this later. And blew him off. And maybe even off all the way to eternity. Needed to take care of that wretched lost person who had a simple question first. Right. Eliashib also said there are some wrestling loners out there who need some help. Those people who might just come in all by themselves. Like I said, they're hurting. The world's done them wrong. They want strength. They want to come to a place where they feel like, hey, I can actually worship here. And I think of Brother Margarito there. Bless his heart. Bless his soul there. I hope that he's able to be here with us next time. I imagine all the vehicle problems he's had. That's probably the reason why he ain't here today. Because he's done his best to be faithful there. And y'all keep praying for him with his leg issues there. Hopefully that's not why he's here today. But that man, years ago, working on the other side of the street. Hey, there's a church there. I need to go check it out someday. Last year, someday, finally turned in to today. And that wrestling loner walked through the doors and found, hey, there's some help for me here. But if we hadn't been working on this section, those doors might have been closed. The third group Eliashib realized he needed to be able to reach was the wayward lineage. The backslider. If those doors shut, if the work ceases, the backslider has no encouragement to get back to God. Everybody else done quit. Everybody else done thrown in the towel. Why else do I need to do it? Brother Tim.
You remember the old game, follow the leader. Follow the leader, son. So here we are. We are going about in this world. And we are going to make sure that we are staying as close as we can. We are mimicking as best as we can. So we are following. We're following the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherever He leads, that's where we're going. We're walking step by step with Him. Because you know what happens if I stop following Jesus? He's going to stop following Jesus. But if I follow Jesus, He's got a better chance of following Jesus. Josiah, you want to join us? Come on, buddy. Follow your daddy. Follow daddy. There we go. I know people on camera can't see it. That's okay. Josiah back there? Ain't following?
He's following.
You're following? All right. We're following. Brother Tim, go that way. I'm following Jesus. I realize I just told Brother Tim to go that way. But I only told Brother Tim to go that way. Josiah followed Daddy. Well, we're supposed to be following the leader. I was the leader here. But he went astray, Tim did. He became a wayward lineage. A backslider. He got off track. And it didn't affect just him. It affected his family. If we don't claim our section here in Whitey, here at Faith Baptist Church, it's going to affect the families. They're going to say, hey, I got no need to keep going because they stopped going. The preacher done gave up. The pastor done gave up. All these people have been so faithful for years with everything that's gone wrong there at that location. They gave up. Why should I give up? I mean, throw in the towel. I don't think I should. And they're going to do it. They're going to quit. That's why we've got to claim our section. Thank you, Brother Tim. That's why we gotta claim this section. Because we don't want to lose the wayward lineage. They might come back. So preacher, how can I help? How can I possibly help keep working here on where I worship? Pick up your phone, make some phone calls. I can use all the help I can get with phone calls. I hate talking on the phone. Hate it with a passion. So if you could pick a phone, you know somebody, hey, this person hasn't been in church in the longest of time, call them up, invite them.
Right.
Keep calling them. Now don't be calling them every single day, because what you're going to do is you're going to annoy the pants off of them and they won't come back. Don't be sitting there browbeating them over their sins that they've done. Hey, you know you are being such a sinful person by continuing to stay at church. Don't browbeat them, but invite them lovingly to come back to church. Point, take your calendar, write a day of the week down there. Call this person, and in every Monday you are dedicating yourself that you're going to call that person. Just remind them, hey, we missed you yesterday. Claim your section. So I don't like talking on the phone either, preacher. What do you want me to do? Buy a stamp and a box of cards with the address labels. To this person right here, you can go ahead and put the church's return address on there if you want. Go right on ahead. Sign your own name, though, so they know you actually are the one who cares. Send them some cards. Send them some letters, some postcards. Smoke signals, as far as I'm concerned. Let them know, hey, we're still here. We still love you. Hey, even though we changed the name, even though we left the Southern Baptist Association, we still want to see you come. We ain't forgotten you. Claim this section where we worship. Number two. Give me this section where I ward. The word ward means the act of keeping guard or protective watch. They say a man's home is his castle. Castle, therefore, you conjure the nice big stone structure. You got the ramparts there on top. And then with bows and arrows there along the top of the wall, you got soldiers inside with swords ready to clash. Shields, all this good stuff there to defend what is inside, to defend what is theirs. Look with me in verse number 10. And next unto them repaired Jediah, the son of Harumah. God bless you, sir. Even over against his hip. What was that? Against his house. And next unto him repaired Hattush, the son of Hashabana. Yeah. That's a bunch of tongue twisters. That's fine. Against his house, so it says. Against his ward. This is my responsibility. This is my house.
Right.
And I want to build it. Because there's another generation coming up.
Go ahead.
Well, Tim's got just two in his Sunday school class. They're his. He ain't throwing in towels simply because I've already got to deal with those two little, whatever you want to blessedly call them while they are at home misbehaving. I know what I call mine, but that's side the point. I've already got to deal with them 6 days a week while I got to deal with them 7 days. Can't I get a little bit of a break from them for a few minutes? No, he's continuing because that's his ward. He's trying to build up hedges of protection around them.
trying to see them see Jesus as their Savior. Wants to see them get saved.
Yes, sir.
He's trying to build up that section. He has claimed it as His. I want my family in church. I want my family to know Jesus. And I want my family to grow up and be good Christian boy and a good Christian girl. He's doing his part. Our first responsibility to witness is always the hardest. And that responsibility is to our family.
Right.
Why is it so hard, preacher? I'm glad you asked that one too. Because they know you.
Right.
They know what you say when you stub your little toe. You say something else in church. You say something else at home. They know this. They know how you act. They know how you dress. They know how you think. When you ain't around all those Christians, they know it. That's why they're the hardest to witness to. But they're the most important. Because that's the closest group you've got to you. And there is safety in numbers. There's strength in numbers. I was listening this past week, Dr. Tony Evans, and he gave his testimony. Now, perhaps not so much his testimony, but the testimony of his parents. If I remember correctly, he grew up there in Baltimore. And he was talking about when he was a young child, him and his siblings. Mom and Dad fought like cats and dogs. It came to blows at times. I don't know if he was serious or not, but apparently at least one time it came to knives. And then one day at work, his daddy had a man sit down with him and ask him if he was saved or not. Witness to his daddy. Told his daddy about how Jesus loved him. See, that man was claiming where he worked as his section. And part of that section included Tony Evans' dad. And Tony Evans' dad got saved there. That man showed him the Lord Jesus Christ. He got saved. He went home a changed man. Evans said everybody knew their dad was different. It had no effect on his mama though. She continued to fight. She continued to antagonize him, to do her absolute best to make him as mad as can be, trying to get him to fight. Said after a year of doing that, he would every day after he got saved, he'd come down at like 2:30 in the morning to do his Bible study, because every time he tried doing it, when his wife was up, she would just make it impossible for him to. So he started coming down 2:30 in the morning to do his Bible study. And one night, she got up. He had just sat down to do his study. And she got up and he thought, oh no, here we go. Oh boy, just as I'm getting ready to study, and she's ready for another round. Oh Lord, help me please. She came down there to him. She says, I thought for the last year that it's all been fake. You just got religious. And the real you is going to come out. But it ain't. I want what you got. He did his best. He said, Lord, give me this section where I ward. And because he built it up, God allowed him to see his own wife get saved. That led to his children getting saved. That led to Dr. Tony Evans not only becoming the first member of their family to graduate high school, graduate college, graduate seminary, become the man of God that he is today, that the Lord is blessing and using in a mighty way. It allowed for him to be able to be used of God because one man said, give me this ward right here. And God honored it. He didn't have to be a great theologian to do it. He didn't have to know the Bible backward and forward, inside out, red, black, and white. He just had to be faithful in building what God had given him to build. And God honored it. Right there at His house. He built what He could. Where He could. And God did it. The next responsibility, of course, we got is our friends. And again, they know us pretty well. They know the things that the rest of the family doesn't know. Because they're the ones we work with, the ones we hang out with. But they're part of the ward. Because we need good Christians around us. We need faithful men and women around us who we ain't even related to. Because sometimes we just need an ear to chew on. We just need someone to come alongside of us in prayer and pray over the situation. It'll be a lot easier if we've been building up where we ward at. What it is that we are guarding, what it is we are protecting. God can bless there. Thirdly, though, give me this section where I worship, give me this section where I ward, give me this section where I work. Verses 31 and 32. After him repaired Malchiah, the goldsmith's son, unto the place of the Nethinims and of the merchants, over against the gate of Mifkad, and to the going up of the corner, and between the going up of the corner unto the sheep gate, repaired the goldsmiths and the merchants. Boy, I like that right there. Let's back up to verse 31. We see the goldsmith's son. In other words, this guy is also going to be a goldsmith. The trade gets passed down, father to son. And the place of the Nethinims. The Nethinims were the servants of Solomon. And he goes down here, and of the merchants. We got three different groups here, hard at work. Three different groups who are working where they can. And it's not what they're comfortable with. It is not what they're used to do. Goldsmiths, Brother Tim, how many of them do you reckon are able to work with concrete? I don't think too many of them. Nethinims, you study them out. They were supposed to draw wood and water for the king's palace. And here they are. They ain't drawing wood and water. They are building. And the merchants, they don't get their hands all crunched up and cut up from sitting here moving rocks around. They are busy wheeling wheelbarrows of fish around, bringing in wagon baskets full of apples and oranges and pears and such here. They're not used to handling something rougher than the needle that's going to use to hang the cloth, the coats, the blankets, and all this good stuff there. They ain't used to having to put timber in the place. But yet they said, this is where I work, and this is what I will do, because I want to claim this section here. Not for myself, but for God to do a great work here where I work. For us, it's those places that we frequent outside of our homes. The job, the store, the library, the restaurant, so on and so forth. So preacher, I'm not big on talking. That's okay. Where we got them? We got gospel tracts. Track them down. Give out gospel tracts. Give them out like candy. It only costs a few cents each. Don't worry about how much it's costing the church. That is a necessary expense right there. That expense is more important than NIPSCO bill, amen? Go ahead and hand them out. So preacher, I can hand them up, but am I going to be able to answer questions and whatnot? Well, if it's a good track, it's got the gospel on the back somewhere. You can use it as a cheat sheet. Okay, I could take you through the Romans Road with this particular track here. Hey, this track here, I can use John's Highway. Hey, I can do Way of the Master right here. I just named three different ways you could teach someone about the gospel. Where you work. They got some that are the size of credit cards. You would get done pumping gas, you hang that gas pump back up, pull out one of those credit card sized ones, stick it right there in the credit card reader. That way the next person comes through, use a credit card, they've got to pull it out and look at it and see what is there. Some that are business card size. Hey, here's my business card. It's a get out of hell free card. Hand them out. claim it. Okay, preacher, I hand it out. I ain't got no one saved yet. That's okay. That's okay, because some people are just meant to plow the road. Some people are just meant to plant the seeds. Some people are just meant to prepare the fields for rain. Some people are actually going to be the ones who harvest. It's a-okay if you are not all four of those things, or if you're just one of those things. But be one of those things. Give me this section where I work.
Yeah.
So maybe someone comes along and just wants to keep asking you questions to better understand what you've written. Not for your glory, but for His. But if we ain't asking God to give us this section, how can we expect to see anything at all? We're done. But church, I want to ask you just a couple of questions here. In regards to our desire for this section that we are in here, our prayer life, are we emulating John Knox? Or we just keep on saying, I want to see my lost loved ones get saved. God wants some specifics. So how specific, number one, are we getting with God in our prayers? He knows the generals. He knows the specifics too. Don't misunderstand me there. But He wants us to be specific. He said over there in James, you have not because you ask not. You ain't bothering to get down there where the rubber meets the road. How specific are we getting with God? Number two, how much effort are we putting in our service to God?
Ooh. Help us, Mom.
We need to take and examine ourselves. How good of a job are we doing? How good of a job do we want to do? My statement is simply this. God wants builders who are hungry to work. Our Father in heaven, I believe, Lord, this is a sermon you have for us to bring your people today. We're asking you, Father, please, to help us to do our part. See souls saved, lives changed, people encouraged. To see this work here, Faith Baptist, grow. There's a lot of opposition from the world out there. And we can only overcome it through you. Help us to be the overcomers we need to be. So that we can claim this section that you've given us here. So that we can see results. Lord, we want to see these baptismal waters stirred before the end of this year. We'd like to see them stirred many times over this coming year. I'd love to have high water bills because we have been baptizing that many. So help us, Father, please, to do our part because we know you're going to do yours. You are faithful. You promise, though, that your word will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish that which you set out for it. So help us, Father, please, to do our part. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen.